Despite Regent Aaliyah's strict prohibitions against anyone possessing or even reading Bronzo's inflammatory publications, the new manifesto was widely distributed and discussed. The extreme writing was more insulting and hateful than anything he had published before. The problem was, Bronzo hadn't written it. When he read the provocative insults against Aaliyah, Duncan, and even Lady Jessica, Bronzo simply stared in disbelief. Even Enzin, who brought him a copy while the Highliner was en route to its next destination, assumed that it was genuinely one of the Ixian's writings. Wanting to help, the Waku had surreptitiously spread it to a wider audience as usual. But it was a forgery. Bronzo found that extremely disturbing. He wondered if the author could possibly be Irulan. The Carino princess had spread plenty of her own falsehoods, but nothing in her writing, especially the recent insipid and glorified revisions to history, had contained this sort of maliciousness. Even his most critical analyses of Paul Atreides had never been so boorish and rude, had never contained such vehement and personal attacks. Sealed in a small inner stateroom, he pored over the alarming counterfeit manifesto, searching for clues. The words sounded as if they'd been written by a madman. No wonder Regent Aaliyah had ordered her guards to hunt him down at all costs, and it increased the bounty on his head. No wonder the people were growing more unified against him in common disgust. A chill went down his back as the answer dawned on him. Aaliyah herself had the most to gain from such invective. If she had not written it with her own hand, one of her agents must have compiled it, and the regent had the ability to distribute many, many copies. Anger clenched his muscles. Of course, Aaliyah did not know that he was the one who'd sent Lady Jessica the covert recordings of the priest Isbar's assassination plan. Bronzo had many secret surveillance devices planted in strategic places in the temples and in the citadel of Muad'Dib itself. He had saved Aaliyah's life, even if she didn't realize that he was her benefactor. And now she had done this to him. The sole purpose of his writings was to provide the unvarnished truth about Paul Muad'Dib, exaggerating his weaknesses to make up for the fictions that were being written about him by starry-eyed Irulan. The pendulum had to swing both directions. Trying to set the record straight, Bronzo had already sacrificed his wealth and noble title, risking his life for years on the run. And now Aaliyah was publishing lies under his name. Writing feverishly, he began to compose another manifesto to refute the forged document and deny responsibility for it. He could not allow such lies to go unchallenged. There comes a time when every relationship is tested, and the true strength of the bond is determined. From the Wisdom of Muad'Dib, by the Princess Irulan. Weary after a long day, Irulan entered the northwest wing of the Great Citadel, interested only in reaching her private quarters. She carried a Redulian crystal recorder under one arm, which she had used to collect information from people on the streets of Arakeen. How strange for the eldest daughter of Shaddam IV, the lawful wife of Emperor Muad'Dib, to be employed as a gatherer of data, a survey taker. Aaliyah had given her the capricious, nonsensical instructions. Irulan didn't understand what she really wanted. Even while Paul still lived, Irulan's role had been unclear, her assignments beneath her abilities. The eldest daughter of Shaddam Carino, relegated to a mere chronicler, but even that was preferable to performing such menial work. Did Aaliyah intend to demean her? Pursuant to the regent's instructions, Irulan and an entourage of guards and functionaries had gone out into the city on a special assignment to interview common people. "I want honest opinions, candid responses," Aaliyah had said, obviously knowing she would get no such thing. considering the recent purges, not to mention the intimidating Amazon guards at the princess's side, no one would voice criticisms of the regency. Over the course of the day, Irulan had collected thousands of glowing responses. Exactly what Aaliyah wanted. But why? Irulan had never been averse to manipulating answers herself. No matter what Jessica had told her, she felt obligated to continue building the myth of Muad'Dib, developing and revising his history in order to cement his place as prophet, the Kwisatz Haderach, the Lizan al-Ghaib. By extension, that strengthened the legitimacy of Aaliyah's rule. There could be no doubt in the minds of the people, no questions. That was why Bronzo posed such a threat. Irulan feared what would happen when the twins grew older. What if Aaliyah began to scheme against little Leto and Ghanima? As Paul's wife, albeit not the mother of his children, she would continue to watch over the babies, help Hera to raise them, and guard them if necessary. All the while, her father remained in exile on Seleucus Secundus with Count Hasmir Fenring. The fallen Emperor Shaddam had been strangely silent since the accident had killed his ambassador Rivato just after Paul's death, but she knew her father and Fenring very well. Sensing weakness, they would be like wolves sniffing at Muad'Dib's wounded empire. She wondered what her father would do next. Walking along hallways of polished stone, she passed priceless paintings, statuary, and sealed bookcases containing ancient illuminated manuscripts. After a lifetime of familiarity with ostentatious trappings, both on Catane and here, she barely noticed the finery anymore. But inside her own inner rooms, she sensed that something was not right. With the door to the hallway still open behind her, she paused, her senses heightened from her years of Bene Gesserit schooling. She detected peculiar odors, things a bit out of place. Heavy tables moved slightly, a sheaf of documents in a different position, the jewelry case visible through the doorway to her sleeping chamber, open just a crack. It was ridiculous to think that a burglar had broken into her chambers deep inside the citadel. A quick inspection revealed that nothing had been taken, but objects had been moved around. Why? Had the intruder been searching for something? Suddenly, she understood why the regent had sent her on an unusual and pointless assignment all day. Aaliyah wanted me away from my rooms. Irulan checked a cleverly concealed sliding wall compartment, confirmed that her private journals had not been disturbed. On impulse, she went back to her jewelry case and took out a strand of varnished reef pearls that she had received as a gift during a party game in the Erekine royal court. She remembered that celebratory night, an intentional throwback to the early years of Paul's reign. Clinging to their former glory, despite the ongoing destruction of the jihad, Lansrod members had been invited to an especially lavish celebration intended to resemble similar parties back on old Catane. Paul had been much too busy for such court games. As the highlight of the evening, the participants opened random packages provided by the organizer, a bubbly woman who had once been a countess but had lost most of her fortune in a scandal that had nothing to do with the jihad. Casually, Irulan had selected an item from the assortment of gifts arrayed on tables around the room, just a light amusement for all. But when she opened her package, Irulan had immediately seen that her gift was unusual. The reef pearls appeared to be genuine, which she'd confirmed afterward through a wizened old jeweler. The jeweler had noticed something else on the necklace, which he showed to her under a magnifying lens. An unmistakable hawk crest etched into the golden clasp. "It appears to be an authentic Atreides heirloom, Highness,"